Thanks for coming out on an early morning session after your fun night with partners in Vegas, and I'm quite impressed by the turnout this morning.
Yeah, me too. No shortage of parties, yeah. Is there?
So we should have an influx coming into the room in about 5 short minutes as Scott just tweeted all the open seats into the room.
Yeah.
So welcome to getting the most out of your monitoring service data. My name is Nick Smith. I am a principal program manager within the Link product group. Specifically, I am in the customer engineering team, where we kind of focus working with our larger deployments, some of our more difficult deployments, and taking the lessons learned from those deployments and developing tools and guidance for the rest of our customers. And so what you're seeing today is a session designed based upon some of the work that we've done helping to educate these customers on how they can get the most information out of their monitoring service data. I talked to a couple early arrivers today to kind of find out what they were looking for. And really what I heard from them was they want to understand what data they can get and how to use it. There's a whole lot of data. Sometimes it's a little overwhelming trying to figure out what you're looking at. So I want to show you a couple of tools that you can use to quickly get answers and identify trends and look at the larger picture. Assisting me today will be Scott.
I'm your assistant.
Yes.
I'll be doing the Vanna White thing, turning the letters. So hi, everyone. My name is Scott Stubberfield. I'm also a program manager on the customer engineering team, and that's my boss. So don't ask me any really difficult questions because you put me on the hook and I'll look silly in front of my boss.
So that's a good intro into the fact that I want this to be a very interactive question, and no question is silly, especially when it's directed to him.
So I have a question. That's not the Denver Broncos, right?
No.
Okay, good. Because that would be embarrassing. Hey, Nick, what team were you rooting for in the Super Bowl?
Thank you. For those of you who don't know, I live in Denver. I was born and raised in Denver. I spent the entire week before the Super Bowl walking around Seattle wearing Broncos gear.
Karma.
Yes.
Karma.
So, all right. So first we want to start off with what is the monitoring server and how can you really use it? So how many of you go to the doctor and say, you know what, I'm not feeling well. I want drugs X, Y, and Z. No. Right? You'll go to the doctor and say, hey, I'm not feeling well, here are my symptoms, and I want to go and run tests. I'm going to say, okay, based upon this throat culture or blood results or whatever, we think you have this, and so we're going to be able to help fix it by giving you this drug. Right? Now, that's kind of what the whole idea behind monitoring server is that it is your telemetry, it is your idea to go in and see what exactly is happening. Now, I say, do you go into the doctor and say, give me this and this and this? How many of you have users who call you and say, hey, I had a bad experience, the network's bad, or my device is bad, or I need a new computer, right? So kind of think about it that same way as this is your idea of going in and saying, okay, I understand what you're saying, what your experience was. Let's go back, let's look at the results. Fortunately, with monitoring server, we don't have to go and run another test. We already have all that data. We can go back and we can look and say, what happened? What were the indications? What were the scenarios? And what are those key things that we want to look at so we can find out what the problem is and how to improve it? Okay. And so that's what we want to do today is kind of show you what you want to look at and then how you look at that across the trends. So really, the session objectives here are we're just going to describe the fundamentals, tell you kind of some of the intelligence that you can gather. I'm going to spend more time talking about the inbox monitoring server reports, those things that get deployed on SQL Server reporting services. We do have a lot of other sessions and a lot of other tools that are kind of out-of-the-box reports. I'll cover those a little bit in the end so that you guys kind of know what you can do with them, but I'm not going to go into them in depth because we wouldn't have enough time. One thing I do want to mention is when we're talking about monitoring service, we're talking about the same thing that previously in Link 2010 and before was the monitoring server. Since it's all co-located now, we call it monitoring service. What we will not be talking about is data that would be collected in terms of SCUM monitoring or server health type of stuff. Okay, there will be other sessions on that. They can tell you about all the intelligence that you'll get from that piece of monitoring. What we're talking about here is just kind of monitoring the quality of your network, diagnostic codes, call quality. All right. So we're going to start off with just kind of some foundations so that you guys understand exactly how things are collected. So to begin with, there are really three things that are foundational to how we collect reports, how we collect all this data. The first of which are the clients. They're our ears. They're kind of the listening channels that tell us how things are going, how the experience is at that local end user, right? It's like when you're monitoring an availability, are you monitoring just at the server or are you actually monitoring at the client? Well, the clients give us the ability of saying, okay, what happened between what was at the server across the network and what happened at my client? Was I having a device issue? So they're kind of our listening points, and they're going to be out there collecting a whole bunch of information about a call or some of their diagnostic codes and sending it back up to the server, allowing us to collect that and put it into the reports. Now, what you see up here is a whole bunch of different areas in which we may have call flows. You know, maybe between clients, maybe between MCU, different parts of AV conferencing. What happens is that, especially in call quality, all of these clients will go through and collect a report about what their experience was. I'll talk a little bit more later on how they gather that report and how they collect it. But consider a call in which you have all these different endpoints. You're going to be collecting information at all these different endpoints so that if you're in a conference call and you hear someone say, hey, you know, whenever the speaker was talking, we had a bad experience. You know, was it a bad experience because the one person listening had a bad connection, or because the person speaking in the call had a bad connection, or because the server was overloaded? Because we collect this at all the different endpoints, it allows us to answer those questions and say, you know, here's the person introducing the perceived poor quality into the call, and then I can focus on that. Okay. The next thing is the server. The server will actually go through, and at the end of the call, the clients will send these quality reports to the server. The server will then aggregate them. This is like the extent of my PowerPoint animations. Okay, so they'll all send it to the server. The server will aggregate them. It will also take all the information that it knows about all the SIP messages going back and forth, all the diagnostic codes. Whenever someone joined a conference or a call ended or who they called or how it got normalized or all the different pieces of that call, and I'll take it and I'll co-locate it and it will send it off to the monitoring server databases. In the databases, we have two databases. We have the CDR database and the QoE database. And so that's how all that information gets collected. Okay?
This is really, really simplified over what we had in Link 2010, right?
Yes. Yeah, Link 2010, what we had, well, first of all, how many of you have Link 2013 deployed? Okay, how many still have 2010 deployed? Okay. So Link 2010, there's an intermediary step where the front-end servers collect all the data and then ship it to the monitoring server that will then deposit it into the databases. 2013, we made some architectural changes where it allowed us to remove the monitoring server and just have it put into the databases directly. So first of all, I talked about call detail reports. For those of you who may be familiar with call detail reports and other things, you may think, okay, that's I called Scott at noon today and call lasted for an hour. We actually get a whole lot more information about that. Yes, it's very good in knowing that I had an IM conversation with you. I'm not talking about the messages of that conversation because that's in a different archiving database if you enable it. But that I had an IM conversation with you, or I started video, or I wasn't able to have an IM conversation with you. I tried to send you an IM message, and it failed. We collect all of that information, and then we send it off to the call detail report. So if you want to know anything about your environment, such as adoption, or how much things are being utilized, We have all that information in there because every time we're sending those messages across the front end server, it's sitting there listening and saying, okay, I see an invite. I'm going to make sure that I record that this invite happened, who it was from, who it was to, and put it into that database every time someone registers. And so it gives you really the ability of seeing, okay, well, I've enabled so many people in Active Directory. How many people have actually logged in? You know, I can then make that correlation. I can make the correlation of how many people have organized the conference, how many people have started a conference, what's my average number of people within a conference, how long are conferences lasting. If I needed to know when someone joined a particular conference, we're going to have all that information into the call detail reports. Okay? And so if you guys, I mean, this is a 300-level session. If you guys really want to get into finding out how I can see how this happens and where it's at, you can actually turn on login on the server and enable the UDC agent component. You know, just kind of let it run for a little bit, stop it, and then you look at it, and you can see all the messages that are going across, and you can see UDC agent saying, hey, I found a message that I care about and that I think I want to record, and so I'm going to take that, and then I'm going to go ahead and ship it off into the monitoring databases. Okay? Now, this isn't something that you have to do. It's just if you really want to get into it to kind of see how things work, that's kind of how I operate. All right?
It's really the UDC agent that allows these, because there's millions of messages passing across your front-end server at any given time, right? So it's really that UDC agent that quickly grabs a message and then inserts it into the local list database, and then the list database, as it has time, publishes it into the LCS and CDR database. Anyone ever seen that the I Love Lucy episode where they're like pulling candies off a conveyor belt and there's like one going by and they're like, take it, and they put it over here, and then all of a sudden it starts to get really fast? And that's kind of what I think about when I think of the UDC agent is, you know, it starts slow, but then it gets really fast. That's my start. That's why I'm here. Gives little anecdotes like that.
Yes.
Is that what an assistant does?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm going back to the football reference. About to call you Dan Dierdorf.
Yeah.
Being my color commentary.
Nice.
So the other piece that we collect is the call detail reports, and this is probably what you guys are most used to seeing when you go into the monitoring server, because someone calls and says, "Hey, I had a poor quality call. What happened?" So when you open up the call log and you see all this information, this is most likely kind of what you're seeing. The quality of service data, or quality of experience data, sorry, I don't want to mix up quality of service and quality of experience. Quality of experience data is collected by the clients by saying, okay, I've got a media stream going to you, whether it be Scott's client or an MCU or a mediation server, and then there's a media stream coming back. And so during that media stream, you know, you have bidirectional audio flowing, but you also have a back-end channel called RTCP, which is information going back and forth saying, hey, it took me so long to get the packets that you sent me based upon the timestamps. I didn't get this many packets, so I had this amount of packet loss. It took, you know, I may have had some jitter where some packets arrived much later than others. And so that channel is always going through and collecting kind of what the experience of the call was. So at the end, when I hang up the call, it correlates all that data and it sends it back to the server in what's called a voice quality report. And if you go and you look at kind of the SIP messages, whether you get it on the server or whether you get it on the client UCC API log, if you look through all the SIP messages, at the end of a call, after the buy, you'll see a service request that has the term VQ report in there. You can actually just kind of open it up and you know, search for VQ report, and you'll see an XML document that it shows all these different things that we collected in terms of what the quality was. Once this gets sent to the server, I'll then take it, put it in a database so that we can then correlate it with all the different calls so that when you look up, you can see what the experience was. Okay? Any questions on that process? Yes.
So the RTCP packets are encrypted though, right?
Yes.
No.
When are you going to have one?
I don't think that there's nothing that I'm aware of that's being worked on to, you know.
It's not like I can go turn encryption off to troubleshoot.
No. Yeah.
No, I mean, there's nothing that I'm aware of that we're working on that gives you sort of a real-time, you know, dashboard of actual calls or something like that.
But, I mean, the packets are there real-time. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you had the ability to unencrypt them server-side and then forward them into something like Wireshark, you'd be able to get that real-time.
Yeah, I mean, I think where that work has actually gone is into the SDN, or software-defined networking.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a bunch of sessions I know going on this week around that, and I think that's more where we've headed in terms of being able to look real time in terms of what's going on calls. So I wouldn't say never, but I don't think you're ever going to see like a link tool that would run on the server that would say, hey, here's all the calls and showing the kind of jitter rates and stuff moving around. I think you're more going to get that on the SDN side of the world.
Great. Thanks for the question. Any others? All right. So all this data is put into the two databases that I've talked about. We do offer the inbox SQL reports, but there's so much data in there, and there will be unique questions that everyone wants to have answered. I can't tell you how many different customers we talked to that say they want a different piece of data from that database. The good news is that these databases, the schemas, are completely documented out on TechNet. They're designed for you to be able to go and write your own SQL queries against. So you can go and find what piece of data you want. The reports that we ship in the monitoring server reports are meant to answer those kind of high-level questions that everyone will have. And then you can then use other tools, like some of the ones that we started shipping out of box, to answer more specific questions relating to what your business is. Now, how many of you feel like you're SQL experts? Okay.
One guy.
One guy. All right. So get his phone number. His rate will go up exponentially at the end of the session. Now, we understand that you're not going to be SQL experts. There may be some people on your team or in your organization that can help you with SQL. But a lot of the correlations between tables and how things need to be referenced in order to get to a call are actually captured in these views. And so when you go in, we've kind of listed a few of them here. We'll go through and take kind of the relational database that has all the different, this call ID to this user ID, whatever. They give you all the information there. And so really, if you have kind of a base SQL knowledge, you can go against those views and kind of query for the different attributes that you're looking for. Okay? One example that I have is I was working with a company that was troubleshooting an issue where they had something that was showing up in the monitoring server report saying that they had poor call quality, but none of the users noticed anything, right? So kind of the reverse problem of what a lot of people think. They're like, well, it keeps telling us that we have all these poor calls, but we don't notice. We started going through and we started seeing correlations of a microphone glitch rate. And that was what was causing that little thing that pops up and says, your device is causing poor audio quality. And so we started going through and we're trying to find out, correlate, okay, is it, everyone using a certain type of device? Is it everyone using a certain type of computer? And we were able to go through there and correlate and say, okay, well, it's all these people using kind of this computer and it kind of all came from this batch of images. And we were able to trace it back and say, okay, well, what's different about that image than something else? And identified that it had an older hard drive driver that was causing it to kind of have a locking the disk as it was just trying to do other things, and that was causing kind of the microphone to glitch. No one ever heard a difference, but it allowed us to see that they needed to update a driver. And because we were able to go through and say, okay, how are we going to do the correlation? How are we going to see the trends based upon those queries? It made it a lot easier for us to go through and diagnose that. Okay?
I have a
yes? So you want the user to be able to go and see reports on their calls?
Yeah, they want to see it.
Okay.
There's
no inbox solution right now. It is definitely possible if you wanted to create something. I don't know what we have in the partner space. I know we have lots of different solutions in the partner space. I'm afraid to mention any of them because I know that I will forget others. And so I don't want to offend anyone. But
I'm not aware of any particular partner add-ons,
right,
for end user versions of reports.
But it is possible to get that data. Yes?
I have a question. The way the correlation of making the SQL database to the SDN API, when I'm reading the SDN API, lots of information is missing. Are you able to map dynamically other schemes from the SQL into the SDN API?
Repeat the question.
Yeah, so the question was, is there a way of correlating the data that we have in these databases with what you're getting from the SDN APIs? Right. I don't know of anything of that yet. I'll admit I'm not completely up to date on everything we're doing SDN-wise. Yeah. But I don't think that there's anything there yet. Fortunately, I don't know how many of you made it to the link feedback sessions last night. You have two of the leaders of some of the V teams responsible for providing feedback. So we'll go ahead and get that put in and as a request of something that you'd like to see. Same with the per user reports. Great. So this is probably what you guys are all here for. How do I make sense of the data? How do I understand the data? What I want to do is kind of walk you through a couple of scenarios, kind of high level, show you how you can get from one place to kind of what an answer might be or trending of where I start looking. And then I also heard from kind of the back of the room, hey, when I open up a report, I don't know what even to look at. So then we'll kind of go into a demo and show you what a report is and in the areas that you might want to look. Okay. So first of all, what you want to kind of understand is some of the characteristics of a poor call. And these are network characteristics. How do I know that what's good and what's bad? And these are really the five things that we use internally to say, was this poor or not? Now, these metrics, if you go to one of the CQM sessions or watch the recording, you might see a little bit different numbers. What I want to say is that these metrics are kind of an average across all the different deployments. So you may have people connecting internally on a wired connection or on a wireless connection or coming across VPN. I hope no one's coming across VPN. Or across remote or working at a Starbucks. Now, you're not going to be able to guarantee the same quality, and you're not going to be able to guarantee the same resources there, right? And so what we have here is listed these five different things that we'll use to say, hey, we expect that it may have been a good or poor quality call. If you are looking to go and troubleshoot and say, how do I improve my quality on my wired network, you might actually want to say, having a packet loss rate of 10% is not acceptable on my wired network. So you can kind of bring those down. But in terms of kind of that red, green, yellow changing, that's kind of where you're going to see that. One thing that I would say about these is the three key ones that you really want to look at is packet loss rate, jitter, and round trip. Because these are the ones that you can really go and say, okay, why am I having that happen on my network? The other two are kind of looking across all the different metrics and kind of doing a bit of a metric to a calculated value that sometimes are a little bit harder to understand on why they're that or how do I fix them. So I'd really start looking at packet loss rate, jitter, and round trip. Okay. So with that in mind, question is, what can I get from the inbox reports? And these are the reports that ship in you install in SQL reporting services. So the first scenario I want to walk through is kind of a help desk scenario, where someone calls in and says, hey, I had a problem with this call. And what's your next step? All right. Thanks for reporting your issue. Do you have any logs with that? Can you turn on logging? Can you send me the logs on your machine so I know exactly what's happening? That's not always the best way of troubleshooting. Sometimes when you're trying to troubleshoot a difficult issue, yes, you need to go into let's turn on logging. After that, send me your logs. But for someone calling in saying, hey, why did this call not work? Or why did I have a poor quality? You don't want to say, okay, well, go and try and do it again and then send me these logs. The nice thing is that because we are collecting all those diagnostic logs and everything else, is that we have a good idea of being able to troubleshoot that right away. So the first step that you're probably going to do.
Question there, Nick.
Oh, yes.
How about mobile?
Oh, for in terms of what they're reporting?
Yeah, so the mobile client doesn't send a media quality report, but you'd still have the server side view of, as to what happened on that call, right? So you'd still see the time that the user joined, when they joined, where they joined from. You know, I don't know what exactly what we see when the call detail record of a mobile client. So I don't know if it would report as internal.
Well, we're going to have the server side stuff.
Yeah.
So we should be able to report it as external. We won't be able to tell you that it's at Starbucks in Columbia, but we should be able to tell you that's remote.
Yeah.
So we'll try and run a report and check that out. I don't know if you guys want to come again to this session tomorrow, but we'll have an answer to it. No, I don't expect you to come tomorrow. So the first thing that you're going to do when you get someone calling in is probably you're going to go in and you're going to go to the user activity report. And when you load this up, it's going to show you all the most recent calls. Most likely, you're going to want to filter it down by, you know, a user or a prefix. What I want to point out here is that when you type that in, you don't have to type in their entire SIP URI or phone number. It doesn't even have to be a user in your system. If you had someone calling in from a cell phone number and they say, I wasn't able to connect to a conference, I can actually type in the beginning parts of their cell phone number and see all the calls that came in from that. What that allows you to do is kind of, you know, see all the activity that they've had. Immediately you'll see kind of along the side here we have, you know, green, red, and detail in there. So hopefully, you'll be able to see the red and say, okay, there's a problem with this call. Let's figure out what that is. Yes?
So what determines whether it's green, yellow, or red?
There are multiple factors. It could be, did the call end in an error code? Was there poor quality?
Diagnostic error codes would trigger a red there, or?
Yep.
Or a media issue.
Yeah, media yeah. Terminated mid call or, pardon?
That works the same way for conference.
Same way for conference. Yeah, if any one endpoint in the conference had some sort of an issue, either a you know weird diagnostic error code that ended or a poor media stream, it would show as red in that list.
We don't have that configurable.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the question.
Oh, go ahead.
The question was, and I'm doing this for people that might watch the recording later. The question was whether or not on the satellite connection we could actually change the threshold, and the answer is no. I don't even know if my mic is on. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay. So the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to kind of dig into that call. So I'm going to go ahead and click on detail here. And it's going to bring up more information about that specific call. At the beginning, you'll kind of see session information. Scott will go into much more detail in what you see in all these things later on. But I can see at the top, session detail report, I immediately see something yellow and something red telling me, hey, there was a response code that was not kind of a successful response code. And it gives me a little bit more information in the diagnostic code. I can also kind of see what was happening in from reported by the server, reported by the client in terms of kind of what that error code was. So what I'm going to say is, okay, well, the response code was 503. I want to know more about what a 503 is. Do you guys know what a 503 is? No. Okay. So we'll go ahead and click here, click on 503, and that will actually bring up what these logs were so that we can see what was happening during the process to bring up this error. Now, you can kind of go through. I realize that this may be kind of small on the screen, but I can see here that the diagnostic header, that even if you were looking at the SIP logs, you would see kind of in there. It says, routes available for this request, but no available gateway at this point. which means that in my, you know, the user was trying to call a phone number. In that, it went through the process of normalization, it went through the process of routing, it went to a mediation server, and it tried to contact the gateway, but there was no gateway there. It could be a misconfiguration of the server, it could be a gateway down, it could be anything else. But immediately I can see the user called in and says, hey, I wasn't able to call Bob. I can say, okay, well, you know, was it because you weren't connected or you dialed the wrong number or anything else? I can go through and say, hey, yeah, I see it didn't connect, and I know the reason why it didn't connect. And I know that I want to go and look at connectivity between that mediation server and that gateway. Okay?
Yeah, and what's nice about, like, on that last page, how Nick clicked through to get to this diagnostic report, I can also then take that diagnostic code, that 12,000 that shows up there, and I can go and actually do a search against all my data for that diagnostic code, and I can then go, oh, hey, you know, I'll be a little more proactive now and going, hey, I know I have this gateway route problem. Now let's go back and try and figure out what the scope of it is. Is it just single gateway? Is it more gateways?
Thanks for setting me up.
Perfect.
Yes.
Do we have an option to escalate or to be more proactive and send this report, some kind of error response calls to the inbox or somewhere or the dashboard where can I see I am active?
Yeah.
So,
right.
So the question is, can you be more proactive and have reports emailed to you? The answer is yes. In a second, I'll get in kind of to a trend analysis how to be proactive. And then since this is on SQL reporting services, you can actually go in and configure reporting services to every morning to send you a report on this. The other thing is that we also kind of have an add-in if you're monitoring your servers with System Center Operations Manager that will go through and look at the QoE databases and say, hey, if I've seen a spike in poor quality calls, issue an alert to you as the administrator. So there are ways of being proactive and having it notify you of things happening.
What's that add-in
call? The add-in for SCOM? It's the
SCOM Management Pack.
Yeah, SCOM Management Pack for Link. Nope. Yeah. It's just part of that. If you go through, read the documentation, there are a couple steps that you need to take in order to make sure it can reach the databases and look into that. But it will definitely go through. And then you can also kind of tweak the thresholds there on, you know, what percent of poor calls you want to be notified on.
Yeah, and I would assume, I mean, I don't know the whole session list, but I'm assuming that we have SCOM session as well at some point this week. I know that typically we do.
Yep.
We
don't?
There isn't one? Okay.
All right. I saw Nick Rosenfeld was speaking, so I thought there was.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
next year.
Yeah. We'll provide that feedback as well. So as Scott was saying, kind of the next step is I've gone through and I've found out that this user had a particular call. I realize I just gave you a very simplistic scenario, but that's kind of what you do in demos, right? So the next step is, okay, I found out that this user had a call. How many others have been affected? Right? For every call you get to the help desk, how many people kind of have an issue and just say, oh, I don't want to call? So let's try and be proactive. Let's find out how big the problem is. Do we need to contact someone, or, you know, is it just kind of the odd way in which this person did something? And so from that same call report, this is the same peer-to-peer session detail report I had, I can then go through and I can click on the diagnostic ID. And clicking on that diagnostic ID will go through and say, okay, how many times have I seen this particular diagnostic ID? And it will give me the ability to see where it was coming from, maybe where it's going to, and a graph to see how it's been doing over time. You know, has this always been a misconfiguration? Was there a change that happened last night? Was there a change that happened on Tuesday? You know, so I can kind of say, oh, well, if it all of a sudden there's this big spike on Tuesday, let me go look at the change reports and see, was there a configuration change, or, you know, was there a network change? Will help me identify where I want to go. It will also let me to see the scope of the problem. Is this, you know, wow, everything's on fire, got to go call all the teams, you know, get a war room, whatever you guys call it to get this thing fixed? Or is it, okay, just that odd case scenario, right? It will also kind of help you if you're talking with your management and say, hey, you know, if you have an executive call and say, hey, I had this problem, they're going to want to know how quickly it's going to be fixed and how widespread it is. So this will really help you to answer those questions. Okay. Then from there, you can also kind of look at a distribution. I realize you can't read this, But we can go through and we can find out kind of where the top sources of those diagnostic codes are. We can see, you know, was it from particular front ends? So you may have a problem with that server. I realize we're still talking about a routing issue, but for any of these diagnostic codes, you can do this. So I'll allow you to see if you have a server or a pool misconfiguration or what components are throwing that. And so it kind of gives you a very good representation of where you want to go. You can also notice that all these kind of blue links are hyperlinkable. So if I were to go and click on that, it would bring me up the details of all those sessions that have happened. And so I can try and find out what other correlation there was. It will also allow me to see the top users, who's being affected most. So that I know, hey, if I'm really having this problem, can I find the correlation on those users? Or even be proactive and say, hey, I see that you've had this problem 14 times. We're aware of it, we're working on it, and we want to, you know, we'll tell you when it's fixed and let us know if it continues to happen. I have found that nothing buys you more credibility in a deployment or an IT department than proactively saying, hey, I see that you're having an issue, we're aware of it, we're working on it. And then they say, hey, you know what, they do look at this, they do care about me, and I may be very frustrated about it, but okay, well, they're fixing it. And instead of having, maybe they continue to have this problem and you fix it, and they don't have it anymore, but it's always in the back of their mind that they had the problem, and they start thinking that the application isn't as robust as they want it, right? So the next thing that I wanted to get into is kind of proactive operations. I've talked about going in from a call to going through and finding a trend. Now we want to know proactively. I don't want to go in and look for a user call or, as you said, wait for a user to call in and say they have a problem. And so we want to understand our deployment health. In that, we do have a whole bunch of other reports that are built into the base reports. First one of which I want to talk about is Media Quality Summary Report. You can see we break up different types of calls here based upon kind of how the call flows are or understanding the scenario or where the users are. And so this will really help you to kind of see at a high-level dashboard view how you're doing in terms of call quality, in terms of education, how many people are, you know, may have a wired connection at their desk even though they have a laptop and they just spend all their time on wireless, right? I think we all understand that you're going to have a better experience or more likely to have a better experience on a wired network than wireless. Can it really help you to understand how, you know, where you might need to help educate and where those areas of packet loss or round trip are. And so this really gives you the ability of doing that. Then you can expand and dig in and see more calls. Or sometimes you may see, you know, these different red values and you want to start looking into finding out what I want to do here. One thing I want to point out here is that in Link Server 2013, we introduced the ability to collect information on quality of app sharing sessions that was not there in 2010. And I know that that's been a big help in many different scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to have to, like in Link 2010, if someone was complaining about application and desktop sharing performance from their endpoint, you had to kind of look at what their video and audio call experience was and sort of try and extrapolate it and say that if on a certain network segment using UDP, we had packet loss and jitter problems, then that would probably directly correlate to application desktop sharing problems. But in 2013, like Nick said, we're actually collecting that data now.
Will that include any data from the WAC server?
No, it does not include any data from the WAC server. So the client doesn't actually send any data about their HTTP streams because that's where it's getting the data from the WAC server. It's more about, you know, audio, video, and then application sharing. So yeah, no, we don't track any of the data from the.
So when PowerPoint slide sharing is screwed up, you just get no data.
No.
You do get a diagnostic code.
You get a diagnostic code if you failed. So say your client failed to actually be able to connect to the presentation. So it said loading failed.
Right.
That would trigger a diagnostic code, which would then get sent that you could see here. But yeah, nothing about the actual media portion of the Office web apps.
Yes.
What about edge server information? So what is the when you read the mediation server, you can actually provide before and after the mediation because media bypass is disabled. What about the edge? For example, if I have federated user or user outside the company, I would like to see the performance carrying inside my network or outside my network.
The question was, what about the edge server? Can you see both legs of the conversation like you do from the mediation server? And the answer is no. You'll be able to get it from a client going through the edge server. You'll be able to know which edge server it was based upon the IP address. But because the edge server is just kind of relaying instead of terminating and resending, we're not able to collect information from both legs of the edge server.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, you could have, you know, if you had two, you know, corporate users that were external, that were simply relaying via that edge or communicating to one another, and you could see that that call had been successful, yet any time they communicated with someone inside, you had a poor call, you could have been able to deduce that same result without...
Doing elimination, not just inside.
Pardon?
Just doing elimination, just comparing to other calls.
Yeah, comparing to other calls, saying, you know, when Nick calls Scott and they're both external, it works great. When Nick calls Scott and Scott's inside, we have a poor quality call. So what's the... You know, what's the problem there?
There's also one thing that we can collect that might help you in a scenario where you're trying to find out where the problem is between certain endpoints or certain hops, whether they be internal or external. And that is that in Link Server 2013, you have the ability of enabling the client to send back information on a traceroute between its and its endpoint. And so, especially internally, that will allow you to see all the calls that are, you know, all the hops that are going across all the different routers. And then you can kind of run some analytics against that data to see, okay, which routers are presenting the highest percentage of poor quality calls, and then understand where you want to look. Again, that's a little bit further in. You know, I think SDN will make that, that need go away. In terms of how you actually enable that, I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's a custom client policy. We do have it out there on a blog. So I'll try and find it. If you want to follow up with me afterwards, I'm going to be down at the Expo Hall at 3. I can get you that information. Okay? All right. Next thing I want to talk about in terms of proactive operations is whenever you're looking at your voice quality, I'm a big proponent of always saying when you're defining your SLAs or your targets, you want to define them based upon which network you're on. You're going to have a lot more control over the quality of people on your internal corporate wired network than you're going to have over the quality of someone sitting at Starbucks. So you want to go through and you want to say, okay, I expect my number of poor call percentage to be under a certain amount for internal wired calls versus wireless calls versus remote calls versus, you know, VPN calls. I know that I'm going to expect a different quality experience based upon those. So in there, we actually have a media quality comparison report where you can go through and you can select the different connection types, whether it be a VPN or a remote or internal wired or wireless, and you can kind of see what your call volume was. That's this top chart between internal and wired and internal and wireless calls versus kind of what your poor call percentage was on those networks. And that will allow you to say, okay, where do I want to make investments in time and resourcing and money to improve my call quality? And so here I might say, okay, well, I've done a good job of educating everyone that they want to use internal wired, and you know, I'm hovering around a certain level of wireless calls. Is that acceptable to me? Do I want to move that down? Do I want to invest there and see about SDN or, you know, are my policies working or where might be the problem? Or do I say, hey, I've got a lot more wireless calls than I expect, and you know, I'm having a lot more poor quality calls because of that. I want to invest in putting out additional wireless access points or SDN for that, or making sure that I have WMM markings put on. So it allows you to really kind of determine where it is that you want to invest. Okay. Also, it gives you a good place where you can collect that data for your SLAs on percentage of port calls. And this will actually go through and show you all those five different things that I talked about in terms of what consists of a port call. So you can see, is it jitter, is it packet loss that's causing that. And then the other thing that I want to talk about is kind of location reports. And this is where you can go through and you can dig in and say, if you've gone through and configured kind of your regions and assigned names, you can say, okay, calls between this subnet and this subnet, are they good? This region and this region. Is this WAN performing? Is it not performing? How many calls am I having? What kind of experience am I getting? And so this will allow you to say, okay, if I need to go and invest in my network, where do I want to start looking? Where can I get the biggest bang for my buck? And so this will allow you to see, you know, how many calls I'm having between areas and then what the quality is. All right? So.
We have a question.
Yes.
On the location report, is there, we have a lot of locations through the subnets, but if I just want to look at one, most of the time it's kind of scattered throughout depending on, you know, if data center talked to it or he went to this one. So yeah.
So the, are you thinking the health analysis tool piece?
So we do have a health analysis tool that you can go, it's an Excel spreadsheet where you can get very much the same data, and then you can use the functions of Excel to find all calls to or from that subnet, filtered down much easily, much more easily.
Yeah.
I think at the other thing is that on one of these, I think you have the option of searching on a subnet. I'm trying to remember which report it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah. Yep. I'll talk about it in a little bit later on. Yes?
If I configure all the subnets in for the location information, why can't I show the location information instead of all the subnets? It would be nice to have real location names.
If you go back to the,
so the question is, if I've gone through the effort of configuring all of my location information and assigned names to network sites, why can't I see that instead of just the subnets? Actually, you can. What you're seeing here is I was trying to anonymize data, so I had, you know, I had associated a subnet with just user site whatever number. And so if you assign, you know, this is building X, floor 3, that's actually what you will see. And if you have a region of North America and a region of Europe, that's what you will see in here. So it does make it a little bit easier, and you don't have to go through and kind of do the cross-reference of your subnets and site names. Okay?
Go to the demo now?
Yep.
So what we wanted to just walk through was a quick demo of what a peer-to-peer session call report looks like, and then also a conference call detail report. So this is just an example report. I'm not actually going to be able to click through any further levels just because it's just an HTML that we've saved off. But I will kind of walk through it. So one of the things you'll see is we've obviously got all of the kind of key diagnostic, you know, components of this call. So what pool actually captured this message? What, you know, where did this message go by? What was the from user agent string? What was the to user agent string? So it helps me when someone says, hey, I'm using the latest client. Well, no, I can see right there when looking at your call detail record that you weren't using the latest client. We could also maybe see that they were using like a, you know, if we're a 2013 environment and they're still using a 2010 client or even worse, something even older, I can see that right in there. So this is kind of that, you know, the kind of the truth that I can go to say, no, here's the call, here's the date, here's the time. I know exactly how you were connected.
One question we had earlier was, you know, how can I tell, you know, going across an edge server or a mobile client if they're remote, how can I find that information? Even if you get half the conversation, we'll be able to kind of populate this and show you that one of the users was external or internal and then what edge server that they were actually using.
Yep, and you can see that right here. So this, the way that it's structured is we've got the, you know, kind of the caller, callee, right? So depending on who called who. So it says, is from user internal? No. Is to user internal? Yes. So in this case, I can tell that, yes, one user was internal, the other user was external, and they were connected over the edge, and I can also see what edge server they were connected from. One of the other things that I wanted to point out is that you can kind of hover over these various, where is it, components. I had it pulled up before. What's that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's gone away now. Anyways, on the real report, when you have it open, you can hover over any of these values here, and it gives you a little tooltip to explain what that value is. So if you're saying, you know, like if we get down here into, yeah, there we go, capture diagnostic. No. Anyways, if you go down here in a real report, hover over it, you'll actually see the tooltip. So if you said, hey, what does echo percent send actually do? Is that good or bad? It will tell you, no, it's not there now. Sorry?
How does it get the calling speed? Is that the client sending that information?
Yeah, it's captured as part of the network stack driver on the client.
Okay, because we've seen like the Polycom CX600s reply back that they're 10 megabit and they're actually gig.
Yeah.
Which causes problems troubleshooting because you're like, why has this been negotiating at 10 megabit?
Yeah. So unfortunately, there's a couple little snafus in certain network drivers. So here you'll see the caller connection type, Ethernet, will also report if the network driver is wireless. So if the user was using wireless, unfortunately, not all network drivers report back properly that they're wireless. So sometimes you'll actually just see Ethernet, even though you look at it and you go, well, that's a wireless subnet. Why would I know that if the user's using that endpoint, they're on a wireless subnet. So sometimes you do need to do a little bit of extra digging beyond just, you know, this wired versus wireless in the report. So if I just go back up here to the top, you can see, you know, the various OSs. I can see the number of CPUs, cores, all that kind of stuff. So there's lots of, you know, kind of really good information in here, diagnostic information that I have for after the fact.
You have a lot of calls that have the media line information. The caller report or callee report receives false. What can cause that?
So the callee report received...
Do you have multiple monitoring servers deployed?
No, only one.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think where Nick was going is if you had multiple monitoring servers and users in different pools that were sending data to different...
Not a single pool, but
I don't know specifically why. I mean, I would trace it back to the... You know, if you knew that the callee wasn't sending the report, go and actually capture a local UCC API log on the callee.
Sometimes we get it, but most of the time, you know, just report receives false, and there's no data underneath it.
It could be a correlation problem. It could be someone using a client that doesn't report back, like the mobile client, or I know for a while that...
We have the same client everywhere.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well,
most of the time you just don't get reports.
Okay. Let me follow up with you afterwards on that.
So I mean there's all kinds of information here. So I can see the IP that the caller was on, I can see the IP that the callee was on. I can also see the edge server IP that was in use. And one thing that's really handy here is I can also see the port that got negotiated with the edge server. So if you had maybe a media problem on this call, I could go back and say, hey, you know, we negotiated 51395, and then you actually look between your client and your edge server and go, well, that port's not open, so that media would have never actually been able to traverse through the edge server. A couple other nice things that you can see, the capture driver. Hey, look at there. Now it's back. the capture device drivers are listed here. So, you know, hey, I had a poor audio quality call. Are you using an approved device? Oh, yeah, of course, right? I use that device that you bought me, and then you can actually go here and see that, no, they were actually using their laptop speaker or laptop mic. So it's you know, got to, you know, check as to what the actual situation was going on in the call. Yeah? Yeah, so in this environment, so the question was, when we see the callee region, where is that region pulling from? That's the location information defined region that we had for the subnet that the callee was on.
So I have to set up a location information server, which will allow
you
location, or?
Yeah, if you, so the location information server is built into to Link. So as long as you populate those network subnets, sites, and regions, this would appear populated for you automatically. If you didn't populate that, the callee user site, callee user region would just be blank. You'd still have the subnet, right? So it's just by populating those values into the database, it returns a little bit more useful information in this view of the report.
I think what you're seeing here is that there's a whole lot of information that you can get here. Different aspects of it are going to be useful to you in different times. The things that you're really going to be wanting to look at is the session information to make sure that the session ended in a success kind of response code, which is one that starts with, you know, 2 or most likely a 200. Then you're also going to have in there the information about the stream, which is going to go through in a second, but also these client and callee events. How many times have you had someone call in and say, hey, I had a message pop up on my client. It may say, there are multiple devices in the room. Sounds like howling monkeys. Or you are causing echo, 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 right? So people will see that pop up and like, well, okay, why was that? Or, you know, they may have the thing that says you're causing poor audio quality or, you know, try closing programs to make your computer faster. All of those things are triggered off of what you see here on the caller and callee events. And so if a message has popped up, you're going to see something show up in those kind of event ratios. And that will give you the clue as to what caused that that user-facing diagnostic to pop up.
And then so an example in this particular call, the voice switch time was high. It was 69%. So if you don't know what voice switch time means, you can just hover over that value. And it tells you percentage of the call that half duplex quality was raised, blah, 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 right? You'd have to kind of capture it and go back and read it. But it kind of signifies to you what was actually happening in this particular call. A couple other things I wanted to point out before we move on. It also tells you the codec that was being used in that call. We get that question a lot. You know, how do I know what codec was actually being used? The thing to remember is that the codec that's listed here is the last codec that was negotiated in the call. Because you know that when we have a call going on, we negotiate several potential codecs, and then dynamically, we continue to use those codecs. So when the call starts, Nick and I figure out that we can speak English, Canadian, and Spanish. Right? Come on, that was a joke. Canadians speak English, right? No, so we negotiate at the start of the call that we can speak English, Spanish, and French. But then during the call on that RTCP channel, we're constantly in communication saying, hey, do you have enough bandwidth to continue to speak English? No, bandwidth's dropped. I need to speak to French because we can be more efficient with French, or whatever the example is. And so the codec that we list there is the last codec that we essentially negotiate in real time on that call. Audio FEC, forward error correction. So we actually track. Do you guys know what forward error correction is? No? Okay. So forward error correction, when the client has a network call going on with another user and we start to see that packets are being dropped, but we know we have bandwidth, so maybe we have a high bandwidth network, but we're losing packets along the way, my client says, hey, you know what? It would be a good idea for me to start sending these packets twice, right? So to make sure that, well, I sent it to you twice, I'm hoping that if you drop it, you're not going to drop both of them. So that's what we do with forward error correction. So when the client starts to sense drop packets, it kicks in forward error correction. And we tell you in the call diagnostic record whether or not forward error correction was on. So if you see a call that had forward error correction, that should immediately trigger in your brain to go, hey, that client, that call was on a network that was losing packets, which should then also have kicked up your average packet loss rate.
So I noticed in some of the fields, it'll like highlight, obviously, that badge that's highlighted in red.
Yeah.
If FEC was on and that was true, would it highlight it in yellow or red or something?
I don't think it does. No, it's more the percentage and counts ones where we've actually highlighted them in red.
Yeah, but you see, that's not something you actually enable by any means.
No, it's magic.
Using a larger bandwidth, it'll leverage FEC.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Just you press the I believe button, and it's one of those inherent pieces in the client that we should carry the I believe button. Yeah, it's just something that the client knows about. It knows what to do. It says, hey, I have this thing I can do. I can start to send more packets. I have bandwidth. Sometimes actually makes the problem worse, right? Because maybe it's a down-level problem where there is, you know, actually a bandwidth problem. But as long as on that RTCP stack we figure out we have enough bandwidth, we'll kick it in. And no, you can't turn it off. So that would be the next logical question. Do you want me to cover the conference call one now? Or?
Yeah, just go through conference call real quick, then we'll talk about
it. Okay. So I'm also, I just kind of wanted to touch on the conference call. And again, I'm not going to go through this in, you know, excruciating detail, but I did want to give you guys a bit of an anecdote. So we, Nick mentioned that we work in the customer engineering team, and part of what we do is we deal with, you know, when customers have kind of escalation. So they've been working with support for a while, and, you know, things are maybe, you know, not progressing the way that they want, and we kind of get involved. So we got involved with this one customer, and they came to me and said, you know, our CEO thinks that Lynx sucks. Okay, that's not really good. We need to fix that problem. So we got digging into it, and we found out the root of all of this thinking negatively about Lynx was this one particular call that he was on. So he was on a call, he was in a hotel, had just his cell phone, so he had dialed into the conference call bridge, and he had joined, you know, the audio portion, and everything was going along well for 10 or 15 minutes, and he reported that he got disconnected. Well, okay, so he got disconnected, he dialed back in, and then he said he heard blank air. So in his mind, Lynx was broken. So that was, you know, they got called in. We figured out, okay, where was he, what time, who was involved. We traced it down. We found the conference detail report. We could see systematically exactly what had happened. And what had happened was he had joined. He got disconnected, you know, because he was in a hotel and his mobile network dropped for whatever reason. Saw him disconnect. Saw him reconnect 2 minutes later. But just before he reconnected, I saw every other person in the meeting disconnect in a normal fashion. So Lynx wasn't dead. His call had failed. But by the time he got back in and reconnected, everyone else had joined or had disconnected in a normal way because the call ended. They were done talking, right? And I could see it, and I could prove it to him, and I could say, not that I was proving it to him, but the person I was working with, because we had all the diagnostic codes that said, you know, Alice left at 9:05, and I saw the buy, the, you know, the actual buy message. Charlie left at 9:05. Scott left at 9:05. CEO called back in at 9:06, and he got successfully connected in. He had audio in the meeting, but no one was talking, right? Because they had all disconnected. So to me, the moral of that story is that this is more about, you know, it's about how helping you troubleshoot issues, but it's also about helping to explain things after the fact, to piece together what might have happened in a situation where maybe you don't have complete information. And that was a classic example for me of, we got called in and we didn't have complete information. We didn't really know what was going on. We went and showed the team that we were working with, here's how you can collect it. And they were like, light bulbs were going off. Like, really? I can find out all that information from a conference detail report? So this is an example of a conference detail report. You can see the conference URI. So the conference URI is always going to be the URI of the organizer. Okay. So if CEO Bob joined, you know, Nick's meeting, it would actually be the conference, Nick's conference URI that we would want to search for. And you can see here in this top header section, conference participation, this is kind of a general conference participation. So when did every endpoint, you know, start and then leave the conference? And what was the user agent string that they were using?
Now, did that CEO or whatever
be show
up twice in this report?
Yeah, he would have shown up twice. So every participation in the conference, disconnect, you know, when you come back in, it does show up twice. And that was the thing I saw. And he came in, he was in for like 40 minutes, then he got left, and then he came back and he was in for 3 minutes and he was kind of angry when he came back. So then that's kind of the general section that shows kind of starts and stops for all the users that were in the conference, and then we drill down into the actual modalities, because each endpoint maybe doesn't join every modality, right? Maybe if I'm joining from a phone, I don't actually have the ability to join the conference MCU. So we then split that out separately. So I can see the join and leave time for each individual modality.
This is also very helpful when sometimes we get the question of, well, was someone in the conference when this was shared?
Yeah.
Right? And so you can say, well, yeah, I see they joined and they were actually seeing desktop or application sharing at this time. So yes, they would have been able to, or no, they would not have been able to. So Doesn't mean they're paying attention, right? But
we've had that feature request, right? You know, can I be watching what you're actually paying attention to? No.
If the report shows a join time, can we look at the
A join time of what?
That an endpoint joined, but there's no leave.
Okay. The question was, there's no leave time. There's a join time, but no leave time. There are multiple scenarios where this could happen. One, someone may have just closed the laptop or you know, just walked away, and so the client didn't send a I left. And so it takes a while for the conference to say, okay, well, I haven't heard anything from him for a while, so I'm going to kick him out. The other thing is that once when you have a conference ongoing, we've already started this report, and so we have people we've already recorded that they've joined, and that conference may still be going on, that they're in there, and so we haven't recorded the leave event.
And then so the last section that you'd see here is AV conferencing. So not only can I see who was in, but I can also see the various different modalities. So I can tell by looking at this conference detail report, for example, that there was no application or desktop sharing going on. So now you're going to ask me the question, do we record the WAX server in here? And no, we don't.
So. But this is also where you'd be able to see what the media quality from every user going was. Yeah. And so you can tell, okay, if everyone says it is a bad conference call experience, and we can say, well, that's because the person speaking the most amount of the time was remote or had a bad connection. It didn't mean that everyone's connection was bad. It meant just that one person's was bad.
Right, but if I saw really poor media quality reports for every person in the conference, that would tell me that there was probably more of a server-side or internal type problem. It wasn't down at the client.
We had a question there, and then I'll take yours. Yes? Okay, so the question for the recording, is there a way to search for the conference ID via DTMF digits?
So you're talking about the actual PSTN conference?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, so okay. you kind of can back into it. So you can use the DB Analyze tool to look up the PSTN conference ID, which then gives you the actual focus ID. And then you can go back into the server tool here, and this is your actual focus ID or conference ID. So in the user's join URL, you have the basically it's the focus ID at the end of the URL, and then you have the PSTN digits down here. You have to use the DB Analyze tool to go back from that. If all you had was the DTMF or conference ID, you use the DB Analyze to go back to get the focus ID, and then yeah.
Okay. Another good scenario might be from you is if you know the phone number of the person calling in, you can look that up in the user activity, and then you can see all the conferences they joined. So, thank you.
Is there a decoder ring for the user agents?
Okay.
That's
okay, so the question is there a decoder ring for the user agents? I guess when you're looking at it, you kind of want to start from the back front. Right, because we have the link 2010, link 2013, which kind of gives you an idea. When you look at the client string, the 1504 or whatever, that's kind of going to give you, you know, was it 2013 or 2010 client? Then the last piece of that will tell you the patch level version. When you go one further up where you see OC or OWA or CAA or RTCC, that's really going to allow you to see whether there's a office communicator client, which is OC, which means it's kind of a link desktop client, or whether it's a mobile client, or whether it's a server endpoint.
By the question you asked, are you asking about this particular build number here, 4103? What does that mean?
No, it's the whole thing. I mean, I'm just not a UCC API. I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, so...
I think there is.
There's a public-facing site that someone's maintained that kind of breaks down these build numbers, but it wouldn't typically show you this kind of OC versus UCC API. Don't get too caught up in all that, but the one thing that you want to look at here is what's in brackets, right? And that will immediately tell you, is this a desktop client or is this not a desktop client, right? So this tells me here that this is Microsoft Link 2010. That tells me that's the Microsoft Link 2010 desktop client. And then if I look immediately to the left of that, it's build 40757741.03. So major version 4. and then minor version 7577-4103. So if you were to look in your link client, do help about, that would be what you would see is that 7577-4013. And then whenever we release a patch or a cumulative update to the client, down in the details of that, we would show you the build number that's being released for that. And that is kind of how you work back from it.
What about the 10 different flavors of mobile clients? Can you show that?
The 10 different flavors of mobile clients.
I don't have a report to look at real quick.
Yeah, no, I don't have one. I don't quote me on this, but I do believe that it does differentiate between the iPad client, the iOS client, and the Android client, as well as...
Oh, scroll down.
No, it's the phone. That's Link Phone Edition. Yeah, these screenshots are from some data source that's kind of old. We'll capture that.
Yeah.
Slightly new. Yeah.
Do you have a way of saying only show me the joins or the conference between a certain period? Because one of the problems that we have is that, and this is like our project managers, especially this is the problem, right?
Yeah.
It's the same conference ID, and they go from project to project to project to project to project. So,
and it gets
people join in the next one.
Yeah. No. I'll give you the short answer, and the short answer is unfortunately no. So his question is, if I've got a user who uses their reservation list conference ID every day or 10 times a day, does that show up in as one big report? And yes, unfortunately, it does show up as one big report. So the one thing that you could do, you'd have to sort of do some out-of-box stuff, figure out what stored procedure or view this conference detail report is using, and then sort of work back into that, write some sort of a customized view into it, tell user go here, enter a date, time, and get the records back. But no, and in the out-of-the-box interface, there is no way to do that. Should move along?
Yep.
Okay. Hey, look at that, good tie-in to life outside
okay. Box
reports.
So we've kind of talked about everything that you can get from those data sources, everything that you get from SQL reporting, which is what you have today. What I wanted to do is tell you some of the things that we have developed, understanding some of the more in-depth questions that people are asking about their environment and how they're trying to find answers to questions. The first of which I want to talk to is called the Link Call Quality Methodology. Unfortunately, the part one of Link CQM introductory session is running right now. So I can't really send you over there and say, hey, go learn about this. There is a part two that I think is tomorrow, which is kind of more in depth. The link call quality methodology is something that we've come up with. What you see here is actually a game that you can play with your link admin, your network admin, and your telephony admin. Seriously, you can go to TechNet, you can download this, you can download playing cards, you can play it like Candyland. Or should I not use that word? What this is it's something that we released in kind of the last couple of iterations of the troubleshooting and networking guide. And this is a way in which you can look at kind of the trends and holistically of your environment and to identify more in depth on where do I identify where call quality issues are coming from. And this gives you a series of SQL queries that you can run against your databases and find out what your call quality is like at these different areas. It kind of starts looking at the server, your server health, is your network there, looking at the network in between, and then also looking at kind of the last mile or endpoint to identify, are there changes that I can make in, whether or not people are using the right devices or whether or not they're negotiating UDP or TCP on their calls that give you a really good idea of what's happening in your environment and where you want to go look. And so it is truly a methodology on what you're going to go through and look at. I believe Andrew's session is being recorded. If you see Andrew Snyderman walk around, I'm sure he'd love to talk to you about it as well. He'd probably be around the booth later. But go check out the networking guide. There's a whole appendix that talks about what this methodology is and how you use it. Jens has a session later on called You Sound Marvelous CQM Part 2, an in-depth look into the queries where he'll show you all the different queries and how you can use them and reports that you can get on trends. And so this is what we're kind of using and what we're advocating engineering to use in future versions of this is what we really want, what we really need in order to give everyone that full in-depth what they're looking at in terms of quality. Okay. Also included in that is not something like into the databases, but I feel it still needs to be mentioned, is when you're looking at servers, you first thing you want to look at is your health and how they're doing. And with that, there was also released some key health indicators. How many of you have tried to look at performance counters on your servers? There's a lot of them, right? And so that kind of gives you the ability, including scripts that you can run to start monitoring kind of the key 80 ones and gives you values of what's good and what's bad to let you know how your servers are performing. And we've actually used those in the recent virtualization testing to show kind of, where we can scale and it's the same thing that you can use to ensure that your servers are kind of healthy and performing well. Okay? The next thing I want to talk about is the health analysis tool. This is a tool that I worked on and was released as part of the rollout and adoption success kit. This tool is an Excel tool where you just go through and put in what your monitoring server name and instances. And I'll go in, I'll reach in, I'll run a couple of different queries. It provides a couple of different reports. The one that I want to highlight here is when you're looking at SLAs, probably what you want to know about is what's my session success rate, being the total number of sessions the total number of sessions I have and looking at how many of those were resulted in unexpected failures. And this kind of gives me am I gold, silver, bronze kind of class of service, depending upon what my goal is, what I'm willing to accept in terms of success rate. And so this gives you the ability of going through, it'll collect all that data based upon a time period that you give it. It'll give you the success rate, and then it'll also give you charts and ways of finding out what is impacting your success rate. What are those diagnostic IDs that you need to look at? Kind of what's that description? How often is it happening in graphs here? So it's a lot of the same data that you can get from the monitoring server reports, but it's kind of all in one place instead of having to go click and find, okay, I want to go to this diagnostic ID and see how it's going, go look at this diagnostic ID. It gives you the ability right there to see, hey, this is what's most impacting my availability rate. Also in there, we have kind of a different way of looking at the subnets. We talked about it earlier. In the subnet view and the monitoring server reports, if I am on subnet A and I call Scott on subnet B, it's going to show up in the subnet A to subnet B call quality reports. That's not exactly how media streams work. They work that I send a media stream to him and he sends a media stream back to me. They can be taking different paths. And so the subnet quality report that we have there looks at each stream and how it's going to that subnet. So I can say my audio quality to him would show up in that subnet pairing, and his audio quality back to me would show up in a different subnet pairing, allowing me to really kind of see where it is in between those subnets that I need to look at. It also in there kind of gives you, since it's Excel, it's very easy to sort, and it's already color-coded based upon those five things that I put up before in terms of good to bad. Okay. Last thing I want to talk about is adoption dashboard. This is something that Amy and Mark have a session later on. Those that really want to kind of see how their adoption's going, we have some reports in the SQL reporting services, but this is another thing that looks in and gives you an idea of how many minutes, how many people are using your sessions, and whether or not that adoption is going as you expect. This is not released yet, but we will be releasing as part of the previously mentioned rollout and adoption success kit. Okay. And with that, I think we've met all the objectives that I had said. We kind of educated you about it. We will be able to, there's going to be another session here, so we'll step out in the hall and answer any questions you have. Thank you for coming. I hope you enjoyed the session. Thanks.